The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Rono and Shaka here. Stop a little later on in the program. Frank LaBeouf and Gab Marcotti will be here to give their reflections on what was a very controversial game between Inter and Juventus. But we kick things off in La Liga. Barca up to second in the table after a 1-0 victory over Sevilla. The only goal of the game coming in the 72nd minute, and it was worthy of winning any game. A sensational strike from Pedri, giving Xavi's side all three. 3 points. It moves them, as I said, up to second in the table. They are still, though, 12 points adrift of Real Madrid at the top of La Liga. For more on this, let's welcome in Pablo Zabaleta. Pablo, you think what? You grew up with Messi. You've seen the talents of Xavi and Iniesta. How does Pedri compare?
Well, don't put so much pressure on this guy. I mean, he's only 19. What he's doing is absolutely amazing because the talent he has is impressive. I mean, you can see tonight he's been, his goal was just unbelievable. You know, but it's just about his personality. You know, he's so mature for a 19 years old to get on the ball, to have the control of the ball, always asking as well the ball to play with his teammates. I mean, and then that goal is absolutely fantastic. To be honest, I think we are in front of one of the best midfielders so far, not just in Barcelona, I would say probably in Europe as well. It's a joy to watch this guy playing football at the moment, and tonight he make a huge difference for Barcelona.
How do you defend someone like that, Pablo?
I mean, he's very clever, and technically he's always really good. If you go and try to press him and get tight, he always got a solution. You know, he's really good on the turn. But also he can, he can shoot from distance. He can, in the box, very similar to what we have seen against Galatasaray, you know, inside the box. He's so composed in front of the goal. He always made the right decision. And, he's amazing. He's really good, this guy. I don't know how I would defend against him, to be honest.
Especially now, look at the state of you.
No, yellow card for sure, because I would try to go always as a defender, you want to press this guy and you just need to be tight and make foul of them. If you let them play, forget. They're so good. Like Iniesta was the same, Xavi. They're really good. There's nothing you can do against those guys.
Future Ballon d'Or winner?
Potentially, if he continues to add this to his game, goals. And I think that's where Pedri is improving the most under Xavi. And as we see lately with Barcelona, is that we knew he could dribble. We knew that first touch away from defenders was always there. He's very slippery. And although he seems to be slight, he's also very strong on the ball. It's hard to get around Pedri to try to win the ball away from him. And once he goes on the dribble, he has some deceptiveness to his game to where you think you got him, and then he's gone. You think you got him again, and then he's gone again. Adding goals to his game is what will put him in an entirely different level. The talent for Pedri is one of a kind. And to think of him as a potential Ballon d'Or winner, yeah, maybe. But in order to do that, the goals have to be there as well. And he seems to be adding that to his game with some consistency.
Just from a football fan's perspective, something brilliant, isn't it?
It is.
See a 19-year-old putting on this sort of show?
It really is. And Pablo used a term to describe Pedri there, the maturity of his game. Listen, we've seen talented youngsters, we've seen talented teenagers, but I don't think you can appreciate Pedri and just the head that he has on his shoulders. If we're talking about long-term Ballon d'Or prospects, we've got Kylian Mbappe, you've got Erling Haaland, you know their strengths. Nobody can stay in... shoulder to shoulder with Mbappe in a race. His finishing skills, Erling Haaland, his strength, again, his finishing. Pedri doesn't have that physical gift that those two have, but yet still impossible to dispossess when he's on the ball, simply because of how good he is with the ball at his feet, and has a way of understanding and seeing everything that's in front of him. What 19-year-old picks up the ball, edge of the box, leaves Rakitic in his wake, drops another before picking out the bottom corner? That is something that is learned on the pitches. That is something that is indescribable. And why just seeing Pedri, not with the physical talents of the other two that I mentioned, but how he uses what he has to simply make everybody else look beneath him.
What is so unique about Pedri is how slow the game seems to him. Everything else around him is going at full speed, but he's seeing a picture that is much slower than everybody else's picture. Everybody else's picture is just images flashing across. He's just seeing it. He's captioned this image and captures this image here and captures this image here. And he's already seen what the next plan is going to be, what the next picture is going to be, what the next pass is going to be. To have that at any level in your career, at any point in your career, is special. To have it at 19, that's an entirely different conversation. And that's why I get so excited about Pedri. That's why we get so excited about Pedri. Because you're seeing a picture of a kid who's seen everything on the field. That peripheral view, that head on a swivel sort of thing. Watch him play and know how he's able to feel defenders when they're coming and where they're coming from. And to be able to turn away with that first touch, to be able to see where the pressure is going to come from. Some of the best players in the world are not doing that with the same consistency that Pedri's doing it. And it seems natural to him. And that is simply special.
Pablo, as you're with us, of course, Manchester City take on Atletico Madrid in the Champions League this week. City big favourites to advance. Atleti, though, in a good run of form at the moment. 6 wins in a row domestically. Of course, not Manchester United out as well in the previous round. Are you worried?
I'm not worried. I think Man City been playing some amazing football recently. Champions League is probably for them the biggest competition right now. I know in the league that race with Liverpool is still really strong and only 1 point different, but I mean, the Champions League is what all Man City fans, Pep Guardiola, the players, they all want to win. But you have to respect Cholo Simeone. He's one of those managers, team, Atletico Madrid, that you always want to boy, you know, in the Champions League, because in 2 games they are very annoyed. They're a good team defensively, but in my opinion, the good thing is the first game at Manchester. That is a small advantage, I think, for Man City. If they can get a good result, it will mean that for the second leg, you know, Atletico Madrid probably will need to come out to get a result, and they will find more space, at the back of the Atletico Madrid defense. But I'm not worried. I think Man City are playing such a great football at the moment, and they will go through.
Meanwhile, of course, this week we saw a lot of legends at the World Cup draw, and you were there as well, Pablo. What? How was that?
Sorry, Dan, say again.
How was the World Cup draw for you? Why were you there?
No. Well, listen, it could have been worse for Argentina. but I think, Mexico, Poland, Saudi Arabia is no bad. It's actually a good group. I respect all of them. It's not going to be easy, but I'm quite optimistic about the group.
And who are your friends there? Who did you hang out with at night, Pablo?
Sorry?
Who did you hang out with at the World Cup draw? Because there are a lot of big stars there.
Yeah, so many. I mean, it was Kun Aguero, it was Mascherano, Maxi Rodriguez.
Ooh, that's the hard table.
A few Brazilian, Kaká. I was Clarence Seedorf was in the same hotel with us. Roberto Carlos. I mean, it was really good 2 days, I have to say. It's been fun. Also, we've been playing some tournament at the Aspire Academy as well.
I lost to Infantino's team. They won the tournament.
Yeah, of course you did. That was Steph. That was subtle, wasn't it?
Good idea.
No, you win. Yeah. You win, John.
You got it. You got it.
I didn't complain.
Oh, yeah, I can come back next year. That's fine. Pablo Zabaleta, as always, thank you very much. You're, of course, then at the quarterfinal stages of the Champions League. Manchester City against Atleti, as we just mentioned, is on the Tuesday. We've also got Villarreal, Bayern, Benfica against Liverpool, and it's Chelsea against Real Madrid. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. No doubt where the biggest game in Italy was on Sunday in Turin. Inter beating Juventus by 1-0. A controversial penalty on the stroke of half-time. Cianoglu converting it at the second attempt would see Inter take the victory, and it closed the gap for them at the top of the table. Just 3 adrift now of AC Milan in first. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti. Gab, for those who didn't see all the controversy around the penalty, just take us through it.
I don't know that we have quite enough time, so I'll try to be as granular but brief as I can. Essentially, the penalty looked a little soft. It certainly looked soft to me. On the replays in the end, I think it was given because of a stamp. So Hakan Çalhanoğlu steps up to take the penalty, awarded by VAR, of course, and he takes the penalty. Wojciech Szczęsny saves it. On the rebound, Çalhanoğlu goes in and scores. The referee, however, disallows the goal. Not clear why. Maybe he saw a foul. I certainly didn't see a foul. But it was all a moot point, because then VAR says, hey, look, Matthijs de Ligt was in the penalty box when the penalty was taken. The penalty needs to be retaken. So up steps Çalhanoğlu again. No pressure on him. By this point, it's like the 73rd minute of time added on. I exaggerate. At the end of the first half. And he absolutely buries it. So I think the referee didn't exactly cover himself in glory there. This is one situation where I'm glad VAR was present in some ways, although Juve fans presumably won't be. The penalty itself, I think, is something, the original award is something that people will continue to talk about.
What a big mess it was, Frank.
It was. And overall, I would say, I think normally the game should have finished, you know. I mean, the game finished 25 minutes after it should normally have finished. So it tells you how many discussions, people on the floor complaining. You would have thought, you know, somebody would get injured dramatically. No, nothing happened like that. It was just a little bit of controversy about the penalty, and Gab explained it. But it's the first time that I have sympathy for referees, and I wouldn't be at this. I wouldn't be willing to be at this place, you know. And VAR was quite right on everything that Gab mentioned, and every decision that the referees and the assistants made. But it's sad to see that, because I think Juventus lost their nerves because of all the controversy and all the complaining that they went through against an Inter Milan very, very solid, I would say, defensively, and which did the job. And I don't know if any team deserved to win. I think a draw would have been only fair. But because of all the complainings, because of all the faintings, I mean, it became boring. If you're completely neutral, you just want to switch off the TV and say, well, come on, can we play football at a certain point? You know, will it be possible to stop, you know, pretending something happened where nothing happened. I mean, and it's not only Italians. Even De Ligt, De Ligt was the best at pretending for the last minute of the game, you know, that he was almost killed in the last 16 yards where the guy barely touched him with his hand. I mean, that was appalling, right. Really. That was appalling. And it's sad because the intensity of the game was good. The atmosphere was good. Everything was good. You had two good teams, but which didn't want to play.
Yeah, Gab.
Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't think it was boring at all. I thought it was super tense. I thought the intensity was there. I thought Juve went for it. After so many weeks in which they were winning 1-0 and being defensive and not playing well, I thought they said, all right, we got to go all out. They went all out. And by the way, about the atmosphere, both sets of ultras, of course, not present at this game. And it is something ironic that, you know, the day that Juve decide to go out and attack, and I thought arguably outplay Inter, certainly in the first half, after the break, Inter certainly had some chances, mostly on the counter, that in the end, they would come out as losers. As far as De Ligt is concerned, what can I say? We got strong genes in Italy. He's one of us now. But in terms of the play acting, which so upsets Frank, I cede my remaining time to Alejandro Moreno, who might explain the importance of winning here.
Wow! What did I do? I'm just minding my business.
We haven't got time for this.
It's all on you, Alejandro.
Wow!
Finger pointing. Dramatic, by the way. Who scored the goal again, Dan?
Çanoğlu.
Hey!
Got it.
Taken 12 years. Gab, who's going to win the league?
Oh, man, it's so tight. I don't know. I mean, Milan are playing on Monday night. I think I still have them as very slight favorites. Watching Napoli win away to Atalanta without Osimhen makes me think they've got a shot too. And Inter, of course, showing tonight this was huge for them because obviously they were drifting a little bit. I'm still going to lean Milan only marginally. And as I said, I reserve the right to change my opinion when the facts change.
A lot more of Gab's strong genes on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast.
Who wants those, by the way?
On Monday. Be sure to check that out. That's available over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, a couple of games in the Premier League today. Big victory for Spurs as they thrash Newcastle by 5-1. Meanwhile, West Ham heap more misery on Everton with a win at home against Frank Lampard's side. Let's start, shall we, with Spurs in action against your former team, Shaq, Newcastle. It looks so good going into half-time. Goodness me, and then Spurs turned it on in the second half.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Spurs were the better team in the first half as well. A bit of a surprise, Newcastle taking the lead, goalkeeper mistake, but then the second half was all about Spurs. They were completely dominant. Turned that same first half domination into goals in the second half, and truth be told, this was as good a Spurs performance as you've seen for quite some time. 5-1. You walk away from that just thinking it was fully deserved. Even as somebody hoping to see more from Newcastle, you look at this second half in particular and you think you can't complain with the result.
The complaint always around Spurs, Gab, is their consistency. Why can't they do that more? Oh no, Gab's not with us. Frank, why can't they do that more?
I don't know. It's kind of a spirit that they have to get, and I think they found the right guy with Antonio Conte, who's teaching them the right spirit that they should have. And the tactical aspect of the game as well. We have to mention that Harry Kane didn't score any goal today, but dropped in the second half, and became in fact the master of orchestra of his team, and it changed everything. And it's why Spurs became more powerful and more clinical in that game. I think it's what it's about. Also on the flank with Doherty on the right side, and I'm sorry, I forgot about the left side, but they get something. They brought something to the attack. They wanted to go for it. It's only about the spirit. I think it's what we can mention about Spurs. Sometimes they're nowhere near it, and sometimes they're everywhere because of the spirit that they put into their thoughts, into their actions, and that makes the difference.
Frank, you've never been a big fan of Conte. Is he changing your mind?
Well, I had some, it's true, some critics about him. But I have to say that he's somebody special. You cannot deny the fact that he brings something special to the club that he's in charge of. The thing I don't like is he spends so many millions to make sure that he's going to be successful. Now he's in danger with Spurs because they don't want to spend any money. But you can see that he's a very good coach. That's a fact. That's really a fact.
If only, some team up north, when they were looking for a coach, maybe pulled the trigger and got him.
You mean?
Why are you picking on them?
Because it's so obvious, isn't it? It's so obvious. Mm.
It is. It absolutely is.
And they're still searching, by the way.
It absolutely. And we made that comment. We made that comment at the time. But the big question for Antonio, to your point about Spurs and being Spurs, he became a phrase in football for a reason. Because Spurs always just seem to get you to the edge and then leave you a little bit disappointed. And the big question around Antonio Conte and Spurs 3 or 4 weeks ago was whether Conte would change Spurs or Spurs change Antonio Conte. Now, they've won 3 in a row. This performance, as I said, was simply outstanding. So right now it looks like Antonio Conte is getting his way. But there's still a long way to go. There's still a lot of time for Spurs to be Spursy.
It's going to be quite the battle, isn't it? When you take a look at the clubs that are looking to book a place in the Champions League next season. Arsenal are still favourites. They will be hoping to get it done. They're in action against Crystal Palace tomorrow. Crystal Palace, of course, safe when you take a look at the bottom half of the table. Everton, meanwhile, in a bit of trouble. Of course, losing against West Ham today. Watford 3 points behind. Burnley take on Everton midweek and a win for Sean Dyche's side. We put them just 1 point adrift of Everton, Shaq. Mm-hmm. How much trouble are Frank Lampard's side in?
A lot. There's nothing about Everton, and as much as they scored today against West Ham, there's nothing about Everton that really worries you going forward. At the same time, you see the goals they concede, and goodness me, they are awful at the back. They make all their own problems. When you're down the bottom, the one thing you have to do well all the time is the basics. Everton do not. And the one thing you can say about Burnley is, more times than not, at least they try to get those basics spot on. Everton are just all over the place.
And the concern is Frank Lampard once again questioning the character of his team afterwards.
Yeah, and he, which as he did a few weeks ago, and people wondered if that was the right tactic, I never think that that's the right way you go. Managers will have that, will question you in the dressing room. Managers will say everything about you in the dressing room. But from the time you come out and start to repeat that to the press, I think you're asking for trouble. How this plays out, we'll see. Mm. I am not a fan now as I was 2 weeks ago.
More Frank Lampard talk on Extra Time. You can check that out, as always, over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dembele, is this to be a breakthrough? Ousmane Dembele, Pedri trying to tee it up, and still Pedri! Magical! That is a stupendous goal! One of the brightest talents in world football. Leave it to Pedri. And the long, long wait for a Barca goal is over. I'll tell you what, the Barca fans will reckon it was worth the wait.
But he was just magnificent. Wonderful first shoulder line. Once again, wait for another defender. Take the time. That's the moment when you prove that you are an amazing player. I think it's just phenomenal what we have yet seen. Pedri proving again that he's the best talent we've seen so far at the Barcelona Stadium for a long, long time.
Luis Garcia and the brilliant Derek Ray on the call. What a difference Xavi has made since taking over from Ronald Koeman. Gemma Soler spoke to the Barca coach after the game.
With Coach Xavi after this sixth win in La Liga in a row. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy, really satisfied. Today is it was a final for us against a really good team, really good coach, amazing performance from our part. So I'm really happy. It's a very big win for us. We played really well. I think it's deserved. So I'm really happy today.
It was very difficult to generate clear chances, but what did your team have? Patience to try to cook the game?
I think we create many chances, but at the end it was the last pass, the last decision, the last making decision. So they defend really well the box with the two center backs plus Gudel, Joan Jordan. It's really difficult to attack Sevilla. They concede just 19 goals. Today with the Pedri goal, 20. So it's one of the best teams in the competition. So it's an amazing win for us.
That Pedri goal, he stops the time another time, like in Galatasaray in Turkey. What does this player have? It's like a kind of magic.
Yes, it's an unbelievable player. He controlled the space and time really well, the timing. He committed really well to defenders, so amazing performance. Not only the goal, he made the difference for the team, but the game that he played and all the team, how we work in defense, how we press high, how we press on loose. Amazing game from our part.
Ousmane Dembele was cheered for all the fan base at the end of the game. He played an amazing 90 minutes. Matteo Alemany just said that he might be able to continue. What do you think about his performance and how important is Dembele for you?
It's really important. You can see in the lineup playing almost all the game. So let's see how is the situation. Now it depends on him and depends on the club. Everybody knows my opinion about Ousmane. It's very important for us. It's a player, he can make the difference, and he's doing the difference now for the team.
Last question, Xavi. Sixth win in a row in La Liga. You are reaching a second spot. Is it possible still win La Liga?
Well, we will continue working hard. Of course, it's difficult, but we need to keep going. Now thinking in the next game, and this is the way. We are in my opinion, we are in the best moment in the season right now.
Thank you, Xavi.
Thank you.
Yeah, big result for Barcelona, of course, being Sevilla by 1-0. Gemma Soler still at the camp now for us. Gemma, you spoke to Pedri as well after the game. How does he come across? 19 years of age, of course. A lot of pressure on those shoulders. He seems so cool and calm on the pitch.
Yes, Dan. And after in the interviews as well, he just attends you with a smile, humble, and being very happy all the time. And you ask him, how could you make that goal? How do you manage to make the time stops? And he just explains it like in a very easy way. It's like, I see a lot of legs. I look for the moment. I have patience. I have the pace. And at some point when I see a hole, I shoot. Like, if it was something very easy. He was very happy, though, with the goal. He explained to me that he was able to watch in the video here the repeat of the goal. And he could tell that it was very similar to the one that he scores against Galatasaray, that one that it was something magical. He's the absolute hero here at the Camp Nou. He's only 19 years old, as you mentioned. He's having an amazing time here. He's working to improve, and as I was telling it, with being very, very humble and working a lot with the coach. Actually, I ask again because he's called Harry Pedri Potter here, because this kind of magic, and I ask about the celebration. He said it was something for a friend of his dad, and he likes the compliments, but he doesn't pay that much attention to that, only to improve and to win again with a team that is in a six La Liga record win now in a row. So they are, as Xavi just mentioned, in the best moment of the season.
Gemma, you mentioned, of course, before the game that it was a sellout. What was that capacity crowd like as that ball hit the back of the net?
Oh, well, it was crazy that moment, because the fan base were suffering a little bit, because they were creating some chances, but not many clear ones, and they were running out of time, and Sevilla was losing time because they were happy with the draw. So there was huge explosion, then everyone cheering for Pedri. I must say, there was 72,000 spectators. It was sold out, but as some members decided not to come to the stadium today. It was a really cold night here in Barcelona for being April, so it was not a capacity crowd eventually, but the truth is that the club is living a momentum, and people, the fan base is happy and cheering all the time, and cheering for Pedri for the rest of the 30 minutes after that amazing goal.
Gemma, do you want to keep talking to me in the cold on and on, or would you like to go and warm up?
No, actually, I'm a little bit higher now, and it's not that cold. And I've just been in the press conference room with a hot tea, so I'm much better. So we can, if you want, I can be here half an hour to the show. I like talking about football, so
have some of those awful
I can talk about calzones, barbecue, cooking. I can steal you the show if you want.
Thank you very much, as always, for joining us. So it's still 12 points that separate Real Madrid and the chasing pack at the top of the table. After that victory for Barcelona, Real Madrid, of course, establishing that lead after a controversial 2-1 victory over Celta Vigo. They're awarded 3 penalties in that game, the third the most debatable. And boy, it was quite a debate in our pre-match show. To say it was controversial,
oh,
I think with me, a bit of an understatement. Alive, thanks to penalties, says the front page of the Madrid-based newspaper AS. Meanwhile, the Catalan newspaper Sport says, why don't you just give them La Liga after 3 penalties were awarded? We, of course, discussed this at length yesterday, but let's continue this discussion. As you welcome in, Frank, I woke up, Frank, with lots of WhatsApp messages between you and our producer, not happy with that third penalty.
Yes, hello to everyone. Well, yeah, the thing is, I just want to say first that I have nothing against Real Madrid.
No, that's never a good start. That's never a good start to a statement.
Because, you know, they've been so unhappy when I said that Real didn't win, but it was PSG who lost. So I just want to make sure that they understand me. And the last time that I followed Celta Vigo, Alexander Mostovoy was there. That was like 20 years ago. So I don't support Celta Vigo, and I have nothing against Real Madrid. After saying that, yes, I really wonder what the referee found to give that a penalty, because I want to know where is the foul of the defender in that matter, because he even tries to get his left leg out of the business to make sure that Mendy can go inside. Look at the left leg. And it's clearly Mendy who comes to touch the defender. So I was told that Stevie and Shaka have decided that it was a penalty.
Yes.
I really, I'm really appalled about that decision from Xhaka.
Fantastic.
Xhaka. I don't expect anything from
Fantastic.
Stevie.
Fantastic.
But from Xhaka, I'm very disappointed, you know. But yeah, there is no penalty for me.
Appalled.
Sure.
Yes. Frank is appalled with
yes,
you.
Yes, Shaq.
Well, he's not the first person today to be appalled at me for something or the other. Let me just say that. I stand by how I called it yesterday. I think when the attacker is in full possession, in comfortable possession, it's up to the defender to make sure he does not make contact. The onus is on the defender.
Pablo?
Who makes contact? Xhaka. Xhaka, who makes contact? That's Mendy who makes contact. You want the defender to get out of the pitch to let Mendy play football and get out of the way?
Pablo, what do you think?
I mean, Mendic is waiting for the contact. It's just that it's not a penalty, for sure, 100%. That's too soft for a penalty.
Ali Moreno.
Right. But see what Pablo just said there? That's too soft for a penalty. It's not a standard to make a call. There isn't anything in the laws of the game that says it's too soft for a penalty. Is there contact? Yes, there is. And now, then you have to evaluate, is the contact initiated from Mendy or the defender? And as Xhaka just said, the defender, it is his responsibility to get out of the way. Because as we teach, in my diving camp, if you're Ferland Mendy, God. Once you cut to the inside and you see that there is a player coming, perhaps a little bit out of control, and he's extending his leg, you say, yep, I'll drag my leg right there. Yes, there is contact. Yes, this is a penalty.
Frank?
Well, you know, it's coming from a striker. I don't expect anything, you know. And I will start with Pablo because I'm sure he's right. I don't expect anything from a goalkeeper as well because he doesn't play football
Steve
with Nicol, us.
Steve Nicol, though, said it was a penalty.
So we all
Frank,
know
he was a defender.
Yeah, I don't know because I can say, and clearly, honestly, I would say it's a penalty if I would see that it's a penalty. But again, it's Mendy who goes too far in the change of direction where he can't handle it. So he has to hit the guy because in fact, it does not even an obstruction. He changes direction, so goes too far and makes a step left on his left to the defender, towards the defender, and then falls because he knows that he can't get the ball back because you have another defender kicking the ball out, and then he falls. But I want to see where the foul of the defender is to accept a penalty. There is no foul from the defender.
Gemma, I imagine this has been the talk of Barcelona media over the last 24 hours.
Yes, of course, it has been. You've seen the headlines of the sport. Actually, it's like the most radical pro-Barcelona newspaper printed here. But especially for that third penalty, that probably is the more doubtful. I mean, in a game away from home, three penalties in favor of Real Madrid, a disallowed goal as well. All the doubtful decisions for the referee and the VAR were against Celta. Of course, people are talking about this here. The fans were outraged yesterday. President Laporta has just spoken about this and he said, let's focus on Sevilla. Let's not talk about penalties or we will be in a bad mood. So fans are not very happy with that decision.
Do we really think that in the day of VAR that still conspiracies like this have validity? That the people in Barcelona actually feel like, you know what? That referee, on the day, he wanted to give the league to Real Madrid.
Of course people do, Ali.
Well, yes, but it's so incredibly unreasonable. Focus on the fact that Real Madrid was terrible and evaluate that all you want.
Yeah.
But to say that the referee woke up that day and said, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give three penalties to Real Madrid. No, the game took that direction. He made the decisions. And then it's also on VAR to not tell the referee, hey, you might want to take a look at this again. How are you going to look at the video? They didn't call for that, and so therefore there was no clear and obvious error. We move on.
We'll surely talk about it tomorrow as well.
So we're not moving on.
Just a reminder, ESPN FC, available on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go there. Plenty of content and subscribe. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Pedri, I think, is pretty much dominated, but deservedly so.
Love we'll you, Pedri.
Tomorrow for more. Extra time is next as Frank returns.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Ali and Shaq are here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf is with us as well. Frank's had a go at everyone today. Real Madrid, Italian football, the whole shebang, Frank.
Yeah, and I was very pleased, you know. That was very nice, you know, that show of 6 minutes that we did before the game where Ali found the VAR or the people unreasonable because of the conspiracy supposedly that has been done on the referee. But of the decision of the penalty, you were unreasonable, Mr. Ali Moreno. Oh,
wow. So now, wait. Wow. So now you're attacking me, Frank? Yeah.
Frank's taking it all
he's
now.
He's reviewed it.
Hold on a second.
He's VAR'd it. And you're unreasonable.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. Isn't Frank's book about positivity and optimism and feeling good about yourself? He doesn't sound very positive or optimistic. I don't think Frank is reading his own book.
Well, now to this, to the point, did Frank not see the defender's foot step down on Mendy's foot as Mendy comes inside before Mendy trails his foot? Show it again. Show Frank what he missed. I want Frank to be able to get this correct as a defender.
Oh, hello. Oh,
wow. Okay, show me the action again, and I will tell you that it depends on the angle you see it. It's true that on the first angle, you see, supposedly, that the defender kicks Mendy. But when you see from the facing the defender, you can see that the defender doesn't touch Mendy, and it's Mendy will come into the defender's leg. Mr. Mark Rodriguez.
I think Mark just wants a copy of your book, Frank.
I don't think the signage is going to be nice in that book.
I will sign it.
Okay, talk us through it, Frank.
No. Yeah. You see, on that side we don't see. But we come on the close action, we're going to see the first action where, yeah, it seems to be that the left leg is touched. But when you see from facing here,
there's the contact.
You see, he doesn't touch it. It's Mendy. Mendy goes. You can't tell me that Mendy doesn't go to the legs and the defender takes the legs out. From that angle, you can see, I'm sorry, and it will be my definite decision that Mendy is guilty. I love Mendy.
Don't try to take it back.
No, Mendy.
You can't do that.
You can't.
Calm down. Calm down, the Muppet Show. The Muppet Show has to calm down. No, I'm telling you.
The Muppet Show.
I'm telling you that it's unreasonable, but I still love Bella Mendy. Wow. I'm the right to live in a democracy, for God's sake.
Frank, are you auditioning for some sort of lawyer role at the moment?
No, he's failing.
I would love to.
Do you think Lampard regrets taking the Everton job, Frank? Do young managers, even with the playing reputation of Lampard, have to be more judicious when choosing managerial jobs? Or do you take what opportunities you can just to get the jobs so it's coveted?
I think you have the right to fail because you always take a bet when you take a club in that situation like Everton, but you believe that you can do something psychologically, change the mind of the players and have a reaction. It happens so many times. Some coaches have the talent for that. That's the second experience for third experience for Frank Lampard, and he believed that he could do something and ensure Everton in the Premier League. But it doesn't go that way. It's sad. But I really believe that it's only fair to go for it and try to change something when you have the inside you the feeling that you can do.
With your Chelsea ways, do you have Frank Lampard's number, Frank?
If I have Frank Lampard's number?
Yes.
I don't.
You'd be tempted, wouldn't you? Oh, you're in a sticky situation now.
What do you want?
You must be feeling a bit blue.
Hey, Frank, read my book.
Yeah.
As he's signing, he goes, from Frank Frank. Oh, yes.
You took a hammering today.
To all the unreasonable people. I will sign you to the all unreasonable people. Mark Rodriguez, Ali Moreno, Frank Lampard, maybe.
Mark Rodriguez getting a shout-out.
Mark. Mark, the guy who said...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Never mind, carry on.
Go ahead, Shaq.
Yeah, never mind.
This is not nice towards you, Shaq.
Oh, here we go.
Which of these two horse race rivalries for the English league title did the panel enjoy the most? Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, or Manchester United, Newcastle?
That seemed like a shot.
So what's it for?
I've just told you. Yeah. United, Newcastle, remember. United, Arsenal, United, Chelsea, Liverpool City.
Liverpool City.
It's been fun, hasn't it? It's been good. It's been very good.
It really has been good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, kind of history over the last couple of seasons with them. Two managers, how different they are, both regards as best managers in world football. I think this...
But they're quite polite to each other. Like, the United-Arsenal one had a bit more edge, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Fergie Wenger, the Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira.
I don't mind...
Pizzagate, Van Nistelrooy, Martin Keogh.
I'm not big on that kind of... animosity off the park.
Oh, you're above Shaka. That. You're above oh,
yes.
that.
We love an that. Animosity.
No, I'm not.
That's what you
you're
want.
Above that, Shaq.
I am far too mature for that.
Oh, yes, above that.
What a load of rubbish.
Far too mature for that.
We needed you to be more immature for Newcastle. You would have won.
Why are you going to do that, Ali?
I'm just saying.
Frank, Ali needs your book. Ali needs your book, Frank.
Frank, which of those rivalries enjoyed the most?
I think the Manchester United Arsenal, for what you mentioned, with the rivalries, the craziness, the crazy games that they played against each other, that was epic.
Yeah.
But I remember the Manchester United against Newcastle. Ooh, ah, Cantona. It's ooh, ah, Cantona. Ooh, ah, Cantona.
What's happened to your head?
It's a bubble head.
Who is Shaka cheering for in the World Cup?
Senegal.
One team, that's it.
Canada.
Right.
France.
And that's it.
Why Senegal?
Because I'd like to see an African team go deep in the competition. And
right.
I think they are the best equipped to do that.
And wasn't the coach your teammate as well?
Yeah, I'll see.
I'm giving you reasons, Shaq.
Yes, but
who are you cheering for?
That too. That's my second.
Any common ball you say? Well, a bit boring.
Yeah. Well, but I would say in that conversation, I think we had that last week at some point. As a kid, I actually cheer for France because of Platini. And
had you met any French people before?
Well, Frank, it's starting to kind of hit away and just erode some of those feelings about France. But yeah, so the 1982 and 1986 World Cups that are the ones that I remember from my youth, I was a big fan of France. I thought 1982 was great, 1986 not as great, but still a big fan of Platini.
But out of the CONMEBOL teams, who do you want to win?
No, all CONMEBOL all the time.
You've got to have one. You've got to pick one.
I would say Brazil-Argentina final. I'll take that right now.
Wow, and then who would you support in the final?
Venezuela.
Final of what?
Vamos, Venezuela!
I've never been in a final.
Frank, on British TV, your pal David Ginola said that Harry Kane was as good as Maradona at his peak. Was he just appeasing the English media, or is there truth in it? No, there's not. Even if I've only ever seen Maradona on YouTube.
Well, I think how can you compare Maradona and Harry Kane? Mm. I mean, that's crazy because they're definitely not the same type of player. Maradona was more individual.
Frank, I don't think you have to take this seriously as you are.
No.
You can just
I'm just saying, and I love David Ginola, but as all French people, he can say BS's, and that's the one. That's for sure.
One of the best extra time quotes from Frank still remains around David Ginola, where he said he went grey early like his mother.
Yes, yes.
I gotta say that.
Which I don't think will ever be beaten.
Hey, Gino Lau would have been better off saying you know that what? About his mother than he would have been talking about Maradona in those terms.
All right, Ali.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Well done, Ali. Ali, you becoming reasonable.
Frank, who was the worst defensive partner you ever had, and who was the best?
Ooh.
I can see Desai because he was nice to him.
Oh, yeah.
Almost made him cry.
I will never name the worst because.
But you know who he is.
Fair.
But you know who he is.
And, of course I do. Of course I do.
Danny Ginola.
But the best. Oh my God. I will have to name The Rock, you know, Marcel Desailly.
Yeah.
The guy was a machine. I mean, what just a plus to play with him, alongside him, with the national team and with Chelsea for 3 years. Fantastic player. But you know, when I came to Chelsea, I discovered somebody I didn't know at all was Steve Clark. He played alongside me in the central defense. The guy was amazing. He was almost at the end of his career, but so smart, so intelligent, so clever, and very tough. You know, that was a tough guy, a Scottish, very good Scottish player.
To Shaka, does your mother call you Neil when she gets mad at you?
No.
No one ever calls you Neil.
No.
The cafeteria does, doesn't it?
Well, because it got Neil on the app.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I use my official name on the app thing.
That's the only time I've ever seen anyone call
you. If somebody yells out Neil, do you turn around?
In the US, I do.
Okay.
Because I use Neil for official documents and so.
Right.
So, you know, some people know me as Neil. Outside of the US, England, Trinidad and Tobago, I even use Shaka on my official documents then and so nobody.
What about at Starbucks? Are you Neil or Shaka?
At Starbucks?
Yeah.
Shaka.
Oh, so when they ask you for your name, you say Shaka.
Yeah.
You know your name is Neil, right?
So it's a Shaka.
Final question. Since it's spring training for baseball right now,
ooh,
did you guys enjoy going to a specific location for preseason training during your playing career? Did preseason training occur locally, or did you travel overseas a lot? Shaka, why are you pulling a face?
Oh, wow. I don't know. So... I have never traveled for preseason.
No?
With West Ham and Harry, we'd always go down to Exeter. Nigel Mansell had an estate down there. The middle of nowhere.
Right.
Nothing.
Yes.
There is nothing anywhere close. So all you did was just stay at nine. He had a golf course all there, a nine-hole course. That's all you did. Trained, played nine holes, trained, nine holes, bed for a week.
Wow.
That was all preseason.
Oh.
I've never been anywhere.
What about you, Frank? Did you go anywhere glamorous for preseason?
Well, I don't know if it was glamorous. When I played in Qatar the second year, we went to Turkey for preseason. That was hell, I tell you. It was in the middle of nowhere, nothing to do. The best thing I did with Ruud Gullit my first year, we went to, and I don't know if I say it correctly, Cornwall on the golf course to prepare. And that was absolutely fantastic. We played golf, nice atmosphere, nice weather. That was great. That was great. But otherwise, no, I didn't travel a lot on the preseason. Cornwall was fine for me.
That's where I grew up, Frank. I grew up in Cornwall.
Cornwall, I was you see so much more.
Let it known.
Here we go.
Beautiful place.
You see? How come I didn't see you? You were a baby. How come I didn't see you?
You
were the star of there.
You didn't want to see him, Frank.
You barely want to see him now.
Yeah. Trust me, you didn't want to see Dad back in
the day. Yeah, I know that.
Now he's got glasses and he's trying to be all respectable.
What's going on with the glasses?
All of a sudden.
It is a little blip. In my preparation, I went to put my contact lenses in and realized I didn't have any.
Oh,
so I had to, like, no one, I hate them so much.
Okay.
No one ever sees these.
So it wasn't you trying to look
not
sophisticated.
No, definitely not.
I think
these are really, they're like old cheap glasses I never wear.
I think it's a little bit of, he's trying to look all grown up.
Because I have to tell you, I was watching the show yesterday, and I saw the glasses, and I said, hello, Dan.
That's Frank. Yes. He's trying to look like Frank. Yeah. Dan is trying to look like Frank. That's the one.
If you ever see glasses on me, it's either eye disease. Contact lenses, that is it. I promise you, it's not a trend that will continue.
See, look at Frank.
Me and Mike.
Suave.
Suave. Yeah, but look at Frank. When you're that age, everyone expects you to have glasses.
Wow.
Get up, young kid. Get out of the room.
That is it. We are done. Me and my glasses. We'll be back tomorrow.
When are you getting your contacts?
Well, no, I had to get a rush delivery, but it's business days.
We don't know.
We've got a couple more days.
Contact lens lottery. I mean, that's not a reason to join us.
Oh, man. Can we put a bet on it or what?
I can't see.